In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Every one of us in here today can think of someone that we've been angry with in the last week. And maybe even that you're still angry with right now. This is a very normal part of our lives. You probably even insulted them, probably talked bad about them to somebody else, some other people. Maybe even wished that something bad would happen to them. This is not an uncommon thing for us. We are sinners, sinful and unclean, poor and miserable. Okay? And this is a routine part of our lives, getting angry with others and then complaining about them. Now, there's something we obviously all know about this, that when we're angry at someone, we're hurting them. That's pretty easy to understand. We should be loving our neighbor, but instead we're hating them, being angry with them, complaining to others about them. So we all understand this is hurting the other person. But the flip side of that is something a little harder for us to see sometimes, harder for us to grasp. That when we're angry at someone, we're actually also hurting ourselves. Anger, like all the other sins, is a trap. It literally traps you. As Jesus says in John chapter 8, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So anger, what it does is it becomes our master. It drags us down. It makes us negative about all kinds of other things that we wouldn't be negative about. It drives us into other sins like gossiping, like slandering. It keeps us from being able to have any real peace or real joy. So anger hurts us. And of course, that's not just true for anger. I'm just using anger. It's true for all sins. They hurt others and they also hurt us. Now, sadly, instead of getting rid of that anger, what we as sinners naturally try to do with it, we try to justify it. And with anger especially, we have all kinds of reasons why we think this is okay. It's okay for me to be angry at someone. The biggest way we do this, we justify our anger, is by saying, they deserve it. And somehow this seems to kind of explain it away. It's okay, they deserve it. This is our way of punishing them, or so we think. It's our way of getting back at them. We give them our anger. But just stop and think about that a little bit. When you're angry, and you can't stop, you know, being angry and hateful towards someone, who is it really hurting and punishing the most? It's really hurting and punishing you more than anyone else. We think we're hurting them, but it's really not hurting them at all. And this is the small point that you all know. Paul, he makes it. He says, look, show kindness to your enemies, because you'll do more harm that way than ever being angry at them. You'll heap burning coals on their head. Being angry really doesn't hurt them. Now, we'll also justify our anger by saying this. Well, I can't let them get away with that. I have to get angry about it. That's actually maybe true. You may not want somebody to get away with something they've done wrong, and that's fine. But what do? If somebody's done something wrong against you and you don't want them to get away with it, what do? Well, it depends on what it is, but most of the time you go talk to them about it. That's how they're not going to get away with it. Getting angry with them actually doesn't solve the problem at all. We speak to them, we ask for an apology, and if it's something publicly they've done wrong, again, getting angry is not going to help. We go tell somebody who has authority about it. You know, if it's bad enough, we tell the police, or we tell the boss, or we tell whoever, right? Getting angry, though, isn't going to help them to not get away with it. And I was trying to think of a good example so you can all see what I'm talking about here. And sad to say, we all know an example of this, very prevalent right now, is our president. And I'm not talking about anything else about our president, only this small little point, his anger. And our president justifies his anger by saying they all deserve it. But of course, is it getting him anywhere? You know, is it helping his ability to govern us in a good way? Anybody can look at his angry tirades and see this really isn't helping anyone. Finally, one other way that we justify our anger is simply we minimize it. We say, it's no big deal. Everybody gets angry. You know, it's just part of life. And there's always a little truth to every lie, right? Yes, everybody does get angry, but that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it no big deal. And finally, I'm getting around now to our gospel ring. You can see Jesus does not think this is no big deal. He actually thinks this is a very big deal. Here are his words today. He says, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. So we say, oh, I'm angry, it's no big deal. Jesus says, you're angry? That's a really big deal. Who are you going to believe? I would trust Jesus, okay? We might want to consider that our anger, just like all our other sin, is actually a big deal. And just take one look at our gospel ring. I mean, you heard me read it today. You'll see that Jesus is not this soft, you know, pushover guy that we often make him out to be. We like to think of Jesus as, you know, he's the nice, easygoing guy that always says, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. I still love you. But that's not the real Jesus. The real Jesus says, this is a big deal, guys. This anger, your sin, it's a big deal. So if you've watched any TV shows or movies about police work, then you all know about this routine, the good cop, bad cop routine, right? And I wonder if police ever actually use this. They probably don't. It's probably all just this TV thing. But we all kind of know it because we've seen enough shows. My favorite of this is the Lego movie. And if any of you have seen the Lego movie, and the good cop, bad cop is one guy, and his head just spins around when he needs to be the good cop or the bad cop. So at any rate, we kind of think of Jesus as the good cop. We read the Old Testament, and oh, there God is the bad cop, right? He's the hard-nosed cop, the one giving out all those rules, all those commandments that Paul read, you know. Oh, he's the one that doles out all the punishment. He's the bad guy. But then we get to the New Testament. Here's Jesus, the good cop. He's the nice guy telling us, I understand, guys. It's okay. It's no big deal. Everything's going to be all right. He's the one just telling us to love our neighbor, to do good things. And that's why, and I've heard this many times, I don't think I'm making this up. That's why many people say, I have no problem with Jesus. I have no problem with the New Testament. I don't like the Old Testament. Is because they've separated the two, as if Jesus is some different God from the Old Testament. But friends, we have been deceived. Jesus is not the good cop. So let me put it this way. If the Old Testament is the bad cop, then Jesus is the even badder cop. He's the worst cop. He's actually the worst cop you would ever want to go before, because he doesn't come in and say, well, God didn't really mean you can't ever murder. No, Jesus doesn't say, it's okay, I understand. Jesus comes in and says, wait a minute. If you're even angry at your brother, you've murdered him. Yikes, right? Jesus is, of course, the same God from the Old Testament. And he's telling us, look, God is actually serious about his law. And really, the so-called good cop, we know who that is. That's us. We're the ones trying to relax the commandments, trying to soften everything and act like it's no big deal. Jesus doesn't do this. Now, I know I spent a long time on this, but I'm doing it for a reason. Because this is really harmful if we do this. It's really harmful if we make Jesus kind of this wimpy pushover that's soft and easygoing. And you know why this is so dangerous? It's dangerous because if you do that, then you don't need him. You don't need a guy who's a wimpy pushover who will tell you everything's okay. You can do that yourself. So if we don't understand Jesus, if we don't understand what he's really telling us, then we won't need him, and we will die in our anger and pay the price for it in hell. And that's what we need to be afraid of if we're going to soft pedal the law and say, well, it's okay, everybody gets angry. If it's no big deal, then we don't need Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have salvation. So I'm going to offer you a different way, or really, Jesus offers you a different way. Rather than trying to just justify our anger and explain it away, or any other, this goes for any other sins, let's instead take it as every bit as serious as Jesus says it is. And let's not make Jesus to be out this cushy, pushover, soft, good cop who says it's no big deal. Let's take Jesus as he really is, our mighty, valiant, hard-nosed Savior who deals with our sin head on by his death and resurrection. And so, let's talk about baptism. Here is the answer to our anger. Romans chapter 6, our epistle today. Now, we can say everybody gets angry, and that's true. We are sinners, and we are going to get angry, but what do we do with that anger? Paul says, what? Should we just continue in our anger? Say it's no big deal? Say, oh, Jesus is going to forgive me, no problem. No, Paul shouts. How can we, who have died to sin, who have died to anger, how can we live in it any longer? No. He says, don't you know you are baptized into Jesus? And that means you have died with him. Anger, that cruel, ugly master who's trying to punish us all the time, trying to enslave us again, that master has already died. You've died with Jesus in baptism, Paul says. And here's where that word, justify, is so helpful. It really comes in handy because it tells both sides of the story. We like to try and justify our own sins ourselves. We explain it away, give all the reasons why it's okay, but those are just lies, okay? We don't have excuses. But instead, we are justified by Jesus. And that's the language Paul uses in verse 9. He says, for the one who has died has been justified from sin. And I know in the ESV translation it says set free, but the Greek word there is justify. So we don't try to explain away our anger. We say, I've been baptized. I've been justified in Jesus Christ, forgiven and set free. So in other words, Jesus isn't the softy who says, oh, it's no big deal. He's the valiant one who takes that sin to the cross, dies your death, rises from the dead, and then baptizes you into his death and resurrection to justify you and make you holy. So anger wants to be your master. This is what sin always wants to do. It wants to enslave us, make us obey its commands, but we are dead to sin. We don't have to listen to that anger. Jesus has defeated it. Sin can't tell us what to do. Anger can't tell us what to do because we live in Christ. So to come back to what I asked you at the very beginning, right now, wherever you have that anger, whomever you're angry with, you tell that sin, you can't tell me what to do. Sin and anger will not be my master. I'm dead to that. I have a new master, Jesus Christ, my Savior, a gentle and loving master who baptized me, who forgives me, who helps me, and his name is Jesus. Our sin is a big deal, but Jesus, of course, is a much bigger deal, and you are baptized into him. So that I will leave you with Paul's words. He says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.